As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in prayer. Lord, open our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the word is proclaimed, we may receive holy wisdom to understand the gifts that you have bestowed on us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our scripture readings this morning during our worship together are found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 1 to 12, and in Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. The passage from Matthew comes from the account of Jesus' teaching known as the Sermon on the Mount. Hear now the reading of God's word, which you can find printed in today's bulletin. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. And from the Gospel of Matthew, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of our Lord for the people of God. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew passage that we just finished reading, Jesus is speaking to a crowd that isn't new to religious practice. Most of the people gathered around Jesus, hearing his words, have been faithful Jews their entire lives. They have learned their faith through the lens of God's law, which has been written upon their hearts and handed down from generation to generation. So the purpose of Jesus' words then are not to convince God's people to believe in God, but are to help them see that their belief has a new contemporary purpose. And it is just like Jesus to teach by using two familiar objects known to God's people, salt and light. They're known to us as well. Each and every day, many of us use salt to enhance the flavor of the food that we eat. And daily, we turn on and off lights in our homes and places of work in a way that allows us to survive and thrive. So then, how can these two very common objects transform our lives to show the glory of God? Quite simply, by living as we were created to live. But first of all, we need to remember that we are not called to become like salt. We are already salt. Jesus states, "You are the salt of the earth." There is no becoming, earning, or finding the salt of our existence. Which means that just like salt alters or enhances the taste of food, we already have the ability and the capacity to change the world around us. But it means that we exist for mixing it up with the world. It means that for us to do our savory gospel task of making this world a better place, we need to be out there, be mixed up into people and culture and society. Last week, we heard the words of the Beatitudes. And Jesus now is saying that if you're going to live those grace-filled attitudes, then it's not enough to stay inside the church community. It's not enough to nurture a strong interior life of spirituality. Instead, the result of all of our holiness, all of our learning about God, must be pouring ourselves out onto this earth so as to bring out life's complex and beautiful flavors. Literal salt that never leaves the shaker does nothing to add zing to our French fries, and likewise, Christian disciples who never interact with non-Christian people have no chance of reaching those people with the good news of Christ. Jesus calls us salt because we exist for others. The second metaphor, light, is a word we hear often in Scripture, especially through the Gospels. For Jesus is known as the light of the world. And this metaphor of light invites us to consider the role of disciples as a gathered community. How are we like light? Well, we know that light enables us to see things and is kind of an energy that gives color, gives things color, or helps vegetation grow, provides solar power for electricity, and can be focused for specific uses, such as a laser pointer. And like light, the disciples as a gathered community have the primary purpose of being the mirror that refracts God's light to all peoples and nations so that they can know of God's love and mercy. As a gathered community of disciples, we are like light when we engage with others in the world, enabling diversity, nurturing a healthy world, and restoring or repairing whatever relationships that need it. These are the good works that glorify God. And it is because of who Jesus is and his understanding of his mission that we, his disciples, individually and collectively, are enabled to be salt and light. Tragically, though, many of us have offered a poor version of salt and light to God's people in the world, rather than engaging directly with others to season their lives with Christ, we have sat like a shaker beside a plate of unsavory food. Maybe we have felt the light of Christ shining on our lives, but soon enough we cover it up because sharing it would be too risky or too personal or too embarrassing. But the truth is that it's not enough to know about God. As disciples, we must be the activity of God in today's world. We are called to live out our salt and light identity. Those who follow Jesus and just merely sit back and receive abundant life, or simply tell others about what a great abundant life they have, isn't enough. Jesus is talking here about a life that makes a difference for others in the world. Jesus is boldly suggesting that our definition of discipleship should define our lives in ways that are noticed. Our lives should be lived with our faith, leading our decisions and our feelings and our interactions with others. Faith isn't an afterthought. Faith is at the forefront of who we are in the world around us. And so it's our responsibility and privilege as Christ's disciples to share a new interpretation of the law expressed in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Christ was not telling the crowd to ignore the laws and commandments that they had learned throughout their life. What he was trying to show them that there was a different way to look at all those laws and commandments. And then, of course, as we know, Christ had come to fulfill those laws and commandments, not to end those laws and commandments. Christ is calling us to more than just attending Sunday morning worship. If we identify ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ, then we must engage with our community and world more than weekly for an hour. Christianity needs to be seen as a lifestyle and not just a title. I think I know what's happened. I'm pretty sure I understand why we avoid adding flavor to our neighborhoods or shining a light into the darkness. I think we need a new definition of the word world. I think too often we get overwhelmed with the idea that we are responsible for ministry to the entire world, as if we could accomplish that within our lifetime. But I don't think God's intention is for us to be salt and light in the entire world. God's intention is for us to be salt and light in our world, which means the world around us is in our neighborhood, our workplace, our town, and maybe our county. Our world are the people we encounter on a day-to-day basis, maybe people we know well or people we have yet to meet. Jesus is saying to us that we need to go about what we do, but with an intention that those we come in regular contact with will notice us enhancing their lives like salt enhances food. Their encounter with us will leave them wanting more, not of us, not because we are God, but because we express the love of God in the way that we act and in what we say. Their encounter with us leaves them wanting more because they feel a little less in the dark while we shine the love of Jesus Christ whenever they are in our presence. Simply by the way we live our lives, living the way God created us to be, the way Christ intended us to be. This is so important to understand because living all around us are individuals and families who have been taught that God does not love them because of their sin. There are entire churches and denominations that have boldly proclaimed to God's people that they deserve punishment over grace, hell over heaven, an absence over relationship with their Creator. There are too many who are held captive to the lie that they are not Christian enough, or sober enough, or church-going enough, or know the Bible enough to be claimed by God. And there is danger when any of us looks at another and speaks anything other than grace and love upon a child or adult. When we do this, we ignore the power that Jesus Christ has through the work of the Holy Spirit to cleanse the heart of an individual. There is no commandment to judge, hate, or ignore the people who make mistakes or do not know Jesus Christ. Instead, Jesus suggests that the disciples be like salt and light for those around them. To be like salt means that not only do we support and affirm one another, but at times we may be called to be more direct and active and less bland. Salt-like people don't just come to church for an hour and then leave their faith at the door of our church. They engage and interact with their community, believing that God will use their gifts and abilities, no matter how old they are, to help and love others. To be the light of the world is to draw people towards the warmth and radiance of Christ's love. This reminds me of a quote made by Archbishop William Temple, who is often quoted saying, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not members." In order for the light to be seen, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, to engage and walk through it, so that in time the light can overcome the darkness. A while back, someone asked the preacher and writer Eugene Peterson what he would say if he were writing what he knew would be his very last sermon, which is interesting because Eugene Peterson died a year ago. It makes me wonder if he ever included what I'm going to share in his last sermon. But he replied to that question saying, "I think I would want to talk about things that are immediate and ordinary." Peterson went on to suggest that we need to stop thinking that being a Christian means always being part of only obvious religious contexts. We just need to pay attention to what the people around us are doing every day, he said, and then went on to say, then help them do it in ways that glorify God. He says, "In my last sermon, I guess I'd want to say, go home and be good to your spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at work." We need to be salt in the real world, and that involves genuinely being with real people, listening to them, and treating them as the little images of God that they all are. The most gracious, beautiful thing we can realize today is that Jesus has already declared that we are the salt and light of the world. And so now we just need to be what we have always been called to be, to season and preserve the world, to let our light shine so others will see our good works. Yes, our good works, not to our glory, but to the glory of God. In this passage, Jesus isn't asking us to earn our salvation. What he's asking is for us to live out our salvation and discipleship that has been given to us at our very creation. The question for us today is, could we truly do this? Could we take the gifts that God has given us, the skills that God has blessed us with, and contribute them to the welfare, to the tiny part of the world in which we live in? I hope so. I pray so. And I think so because of what I witnessed being done by so many of you since I arrived in October. Let it be so. Jesus calls us salt and light, and that's what we are. So let us then live the tasty, lit up life. To God be the glory. Amen. I invite you to stand and join with me in our song of praise, Here I Am to Worship.